The following is a Nam Hat program given in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 9th, 1982.
Scriptural evidences in the most belligerent, puffed up, self-conceited, confident, and pundit-like manner, challenging everyone as Nimai Pandit. Then his father Strad or Pindi Dan was supposed to be done. So Lord Chaitanya prepared to go to Gaya to offer worship. You know that Lord Chaitanya's pastime in his youth was when he got a little older, he started to go to school and immediately became the greatest of all the scholars. And he was enjoying there the transcendental mellow with his devotees as a brahmana. He was having these pastimes. We were discussing how sometimes the Lord would come down the street with his hundreds of disciples, thousands of disciples, students of Sanskrit. And the other brahmanas and pandits would see him and they would run away. If he would see someone, like sometimes he would see Gadadhar. Say, "Oh, Gadadhar, Gadadhar, where are you going? Why are you running away? Come here, come here." And in a very nice way he would speak, "Why you are hiding all the time? I'm not seeing you anymore. I just had one question I wanted to ask you. What is the meaning of mukti?" This was his way. He would call a brahmana, call a pandit, ask them a question. Whatever question he would ask, they knew that now they were finished. He would capture them, ask the question, no matter what answer they would give, he would be able to show it was wrong, establish a better answer. So that time, Gadadhar said, "Well, mukti means that you're free from the material miseries." Lord Chaitanya said, "I was very dissatisfied with such an answer. You don't know what the real liberation means." Then he quoted so many slokas. "Real liberation means to be always fixed at the lotus feet of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna." But even though in those days he was also a devotee of Krishna, no doubt, but the mood was like conquering everyone who he met. He saw Mukunda, "Mukunda, where are you going? Oh, Mukunda, Mukunda!" And Mukunda said, "Why, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just a grammar, studying Sanskrit grammar, what does he know? At that time his name was Nimai Pandit. What does this Nimai Pandit know? Why do I want to go and study with him? I'll teach him a lesson." He walked over. Nimai said to him, "My dear Mukunda, where are you going? I have not seen you for so long. Why you're not coming and studying with the others?" "No, because now, my dear Nimai Pandit, I want to learn poetry, Sanskrit poetry. You're just a grammarian. You're just studying the ABCs and grammar. Why do I want to stay with you? Now I have a different teacher." The Lord Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, if you feel like that, of course, what can we say? But we do happen to know something about Sanskrit poetry. What would you, could you just compose us some poetry? We could study your poetry." Holy Mukunda composed the poetry. Lord Chaitanya took it apart, dissected it, asked him where all the mistakes were. He said, what mistakes? Showed out so many mistakes. Then he again composed so many perfect poems. Mukunda was completely read. Lord Chaitanya, we know something about poetry. Come tomorrow. Pats him on the, we'll see you tomorrow. Like this, so the pure Vaishnavas are seeing these. They're thinking that when is Lord Chaitanya, when is Nimai Pandit going to be giving up all these pursuits where mainly he's just challenging people and defeating them scholastically? When is he going to become a pure Vaishnava? Although Lord Chaitanya himself is Krishna, when he was, just as Krishna was stealing butter and playing with the cows, Lord Chaitanya was playing with the brahmanas when he was 11, 12, like that. He was already the greatest pandit. For him it was childhood play. But even as a child, he had already defeated all the other pandits. What do you call prodigal son? Well, he's a divine, prodigal. So, but finally his father left the world. He went then to Gaya to offer worship. At that time he met Ishwarpuri. The promise he had made to so many Vaishnavas, when they requested, why are you wasting your time with all this arguing and all this scholastic show? Why don't you just worship Krishna? He said, well, I'm looking for a guru. You bless me that I can find a pure guru. When I get the spiritual master, then I will become a pure devotee. This is my desire. Now I'm having all these scholastic pursuits, academic life. But in the future, if by your blessing I may get a guru, then I can start to actually know what is pure devotion. In this way, he would encourage them, at the same time put them off. So when he went finally to Gaya, he met Ishwarpuri. He took initiation. From that time, as soon as he worshipped the lotus feet of Vishnu, Krishna, at Gaya, the tears started pouring from his eyes just like the Ganges flow. When he came back to Navadvip, it was a changed Nimai Pandit. Where was that Nimai Pandit? They are all known. Now he was simply crying out, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Bholo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna. Koro Krishna Shika. This way he was always singing and chanting, telling everyone. His mother said, what happened to my son? She got a little frightened when she saw him chanting Krishna and falling unconscious in ecstasy, that maybe he's now going to also run off like my other son. Oh Bhagavan Krishna, I already lost my father, my husband. I lost my oldest son, took sannyas. My husband has left the world. Now I only have one son left, Nimai. Lord Chaitanya, please don't also take him away. Let him be happy here in your devotional service. He has a nice wife. Like this, she was thinking in that way. Why don't let him suffer motherly affection? She was thinking. He should just stay there, be nice and happy. But Lord Chaitanya's real mission was now becoming manifest. Up to that time, up to 14 years, he was having childhood proclivities. Only very few people could realize that he was Krishna. He left his real purpose hidden. At that time, he started to reveal to the devotees. He called Suklambar Brahmachari and other devotees to please tell everyone, Sriman Pandit, that now he had something private to tell, something to reveal. When he came to their house, he just embraced one of the pillars, like this big, but big pillar, in Sriman Pandit's house. And he just embraced the pillar as if he was embracing Krishna, and he was saying, oh Krishna, I have had you now, I have lost you, when will I achieve your lotus feet again? Oh Krishna, oh Krishna! And he was crying out. As he was saying, tears are pouring from his eyes. The devotees, they all couldn't stopped themselves. They all started to cry. What a change has come over Nimai Pandit. What change has come over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya, in deep separation, he fainted. All the devotees, one after another, boom, boom, boom. They fell down and fainted. Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan with those devotees. And that was the first. Now everyone knew that Lord Chaitanya has become pure devotee. That was their vision at that time. No one knew at that time yet that he was Krishna. That was revealed later. Anyone who saw him at that time, they become filled with love for Krishna. So he went to his students and he tried to teach them. But everything he was telling them, they would ask, well, how do you decline the verbs? How do you join the words in sandhi and so on and so forth? Different questions. He'd say, every joint is Krishna, everything is Krishna. And he would, in different ways, what is the pure verb? How the pure verb ultimately, the purest verb, purest noun, everything was only coming from Krishna. Different ways he would, every word, every letter, every syllable, he would tie it in with, directly with Krishna. Then he would ask the students, now you've understood. The students would look at each other, all you said was Krishna, Krishna, Krishna the whole time. They couldn't follow. Everything was sudden, such a sudden change, they couldn't relate to it. They went to one of the older teachers who had once been a teacher to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya respected him like a guru. Gangadas Pandit, they said, what happened to Nimai? Pandit, now we're going to study. All he talks about is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. We wanted to become great pandits, great learned scholars. You see, but now we're a bit confused what to do. He said, don't worry, I'll go and talk to him. He went over and Nimai Pandit saw his teacher, touched his feet. And the teacher said, bless you with a lot of learning, my dear Nimai Pandit. So now you know that you're a Brahmana, Vaishnava. It's your duty to know all the scriptures and to be able to establish Vaishnavism by the scriptural truth. So they should know well all the basics of grammar, Sanskrit, everything, and all the Shastra. You just teach your students nicely. You don't have to just go on all this, too much Krishna, that won't, what will be the use of that? They should have the foundation in Sanskrit, so on. So. Yes, yes, Master. I am Nimai Pandit. Was there ever anyone who could stand up to my challenge? Was there ever anyone who could present any argument that I could not smash? That I could not defeat? Then all the students, all his students and the teacher, they said, oh, this is the old Nimai Pandit we knew. He said, watch, now we'll go. He went there, went on the street. Students were there. Again, he challenged, anyone is coming, come forward. All the other pandits, they had already known Nimai Pandit. They just ran, you know. They knew there was no hope arguing with him. He just challenged anyone, you want to argue? Anyone thinks you're a pandit, come forward. Nimai is here. All the students had gained heart. At that time, it just so happened that one of the friends of his father, grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, was coming by. And he saw his, just like a grandson, Nimai, he went and started quoting some Bhagavatam slokas about the mercy of Krishna, how he is so kind, even he delivered the witch Putana, the snake Agasura. When Krishna Chaitanya heard those glorifications of Krishna, as soon as the vibration of bhakti entered in his ear, he became filled with ecstasy. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna! And he just fainted on the ground. His body was shaking. Even 10 men couldn't hold him down. Tears were pouring down. He was rolling. Krishna, Krishna's teeth are grating. He was pounding and said, oh, I had you, Krishna, now I've lost you. He was just immediately thrown in separation. all of his students. My pandit is changed. So again, when he finally came out of it, the ecstasy, he took all his students, went to the Ganges like this. The students, he told, all right, go home today. Tomorrow we'll study some more. Again, the next day they came, again the same thing. Finally, this time Lord Chaitanya became very intense. He started to preach to them the philosophy. They kept saying, why always Krishna now? And then he said, why Krishna? Is there anything more dear than oneself? In every body there's a soul. To save one's life, one will take any extent. It's no doubt that from the body are produced children. And the children are very dear. But what is more dear, the children or one's own self? At the time of death, then people, they're valuing their own life even more than their children. The self is the dearest, even more than any other byproduct and any other relation. But don't you know what is the self but the small particle of Krishna? Krishna is himself, Atendriya. He's himself, the Atma-Atma. He's the self of the self. So who is dearer than Krishna? He is the cause of all causes. Just as the Brahma Sanhita said, Iswaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. In so many ways, he established Krishna's position. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is the actually dearmost to everyone. Dear even than one's very life. Then Lord Chaitanya came out of his ecstatic preaching. He looked around at the listeners. So what did I say? So you said that Krishna is everything? So all right, so this is my position now. So if you don't want to know about Krishna, if you want to go and study grammar and other things to other people, you can go ahead. Now, I can't think of anything, I can't say anything, I can't do anything except for Krishna. This is my condition. So without any feeling of any remorse or offense, if you want to, you're free to go and study from somewhere else. You can take your books and go. And one of the students stood up and said that Nimai Pandit, of course at first it was a great shock to us, it was a sudden change, but frankly we don't find that what you are doing or saying is at all human. When you call out Krishna and you fell down, even 10 men couldn't hold you. Tears were coming from your eyes just like the Ganges was flooding out. How you are constantly speaking about Krishna, laughing, chanting Krishna's name. This is something completely astonishing for all of us. We find you to be some empowered divine personality. I don't want to leave your association. I simply want to stay with you. Naturally, Krishna himself is coming. All of those students are his eternal devotees. All of them were Krishna devotees. One by one, they all said, simply we want to stay with you. If you only want to teach us Krishna, why will we learn something else? You are the greatest teacher. You are our master. Then Lord Chaitanya said, everyone, you should all chant Sankirtan. You should always chant Krishna Sankirtan. They never knew what was Krishna Sankirtan. What is Krishna Sankirtan? You have to teach us. We don't know. You're our master in everything. You also have to teach us. So all right, you start clapping. You chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna, Jadavaya Namo, Gopala Govinda Ram, Srimadu Sudan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And all these thousands of students there to all chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. In this way, the whole Navadvip became flooded with the vibration of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan, who had previously, all these students had simply been, you see, just like university students, simply academically inclined. By Lord Chaitanya's association, they became melted. And they all started to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The pure Vaishnavas saw the change. They were astonished. How Nimai Pandit has completely changed. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya began his Sankirtan movement. Suddenly when he wanted to manifest his real purpose for coming, he started the Sankirtan. And from there, step by step, it increased. Sivas Pandit's house, nocturnal kirtan, sending out kirtan parties in all the parts of the town, establishing the supremacy of pure devotional service. From that time on, it was no looking back. And because Krishna himself had come, anyone who came in contact with that movement, they immediately got the appreciation of the pure love for Krishna, highest ecstatic love for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, is in the same way we find from Lilamrita, he has different pastimes in his youth. But when the time came, then all along, of course, he was always connected with devotional service. He was always a pure Vaishnava from the very beginning. But when the particular time came, he manifested his real purpose, which was to bring this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. For that, we're grateful to Srila Gurupad for manifesting that history in the Lilamrita. So by Prabhupada's mercy, now today, this ocean of Sankirtan, of Krishna's chanting congregationally, has now reached all over the world and is going on, expanding day by day. Actually, this is the rarest thing. There's nothing more dear, more rare than to be able to directly chant the names of God. It is not at all a material activity. I was just discussing with one person today in some morning darshan, and they were saying that before I came to the temple, I came once, then for 2 years I didn't come. Finally, one by one, Krishna took away so many attachments, and I was thinking that, well, I have to go back to the Krishna temple. And I was thinking that, no, is there anything else I can do? Because if I go there, I won't be able to think. So I better think now. Is there anywhere? There's nowhere, nowhere. There's nowhere else. I have to go there. Everyone, even the Indians, why sometimes Indians stay away from the Krishna temple? Although many are coming. But sometimes they know that Krishna worship, that's the end of the line. That's the top. Beyond that, once a person gets into that, for some reason they don't come back. Generally speaking, they just go on higher and higher in transcendental love for the Lord. And then after that, they don't get into any more frivolous or useless activities like they did before. So Maya is trying to say, no, no, anything else. Just see, I have so much to offer you. Take the whole world. But when someone is actually wanting to find the truth, when they want to achieve their best in life, then finally, they have come to that conclusion, no, I have to go to the Krishna temple. I have to go to the devotees. There's nowhere else. And then Maya is suffering her first defeat. Of course, she tries and tries again to dissuade But if a devotee simply remains fixed in chanting by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that Kali is driven away. Wherever the holy name is there, the personality of Kali, this age of iron and coil, cannot remain. So we simply have to broadcast the Sankirtan non-stop, continuously, without any contamination. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindo. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In fact, when Lord Chaitanya's students heard that, oh, you go elsewhere, they were crying. They couldn't think to be separated from Lord Chaitanya. No, no, we won't go. Like that, the devotees, they become so attached to Krishna, so attached to the devotees of Krishna, they can't think for a moment. They're praying, please don't deprive me of your association. Please don't even allow there to be a second of separation. Today we're reading this morning the 11th canto, that even for a half a moment, a devotee will not separate from the service of Lord Krishna, even in exchange for all the power, control, and opulence of the whole universe. They won't even agree to separate for one half a moment. A moment is defined as 8/45 of a second. And a half a moment was 8/90 of a second, which would be how much? 4/45 of a second. They wouldn't agree to be separate even for that long from the service of Krishna. That way we should try to become, to develop our taste for chanting so that we can become so linked with Krishna that we won't allow even a fraction of a second to be separated from Krishna's lotus feet. Then that's the topmost level of devotion. Anyway, I haven't been here in Philadelphia since about 3 years. Very nice to come back. That time, actually, Sri Gurupada was here. We had some kind of like a joint darshan or class. I remember we were both here. So now it's nice to be here. Maybe there's some questions, discussion. Yes?
Shrila Prabhupada, I was talking to you in the car when I came about your program. Getting people to chant, going around. I told you we have a program like that non-temple here. So maybe you could tell us a little about that program of yours so that we could be inspired to help you in the right here. How to carry that on, how to have that vision, getting people to chant right here.
When Lord Chaitanya was asked that who is the Vaishnava, Lord Chaitanya said that anyone who chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare, is a Vaishnava. Anyone chants the name of Krishna as a devotee, a Vaishnava. Of course, later he described the three standards. One may be beginner, intermediate, or advanced. But the minimum requirement, if someone chants the name of Krishna, he's a devotee, she's a devotee. So, many years, in 1977, there was some crises at Mayapur. At that time, we realized that we needed the help of all the local devotees. And I asked Prabhupada that I had an experience that there were a lot of devotees in India, but that we had no program at that time for really engaging them. But somehow the existing chanters of Hare Krishna should be coordinated and should be tied into the ISKCON movement for expanding our propaganda work. And he told me that you go on expanding the propaganda unlimitedly. Later on he told me, you just travel constantly, you have to take that curse from me. I'm not going to travel anymore, I'm going to stay here in Vrindavan. But anyway, at that time he told that you just bring a person to the temple, let him stay for a few days, a week, 2 weeks, train the person up, how to chant, what is our program, and send them back to their house, let them make their family and their village Krishna conscious in that way. He encouraged like that. So, we found that in India many people would chant Hare Krishna, but very few people would chant regularly. That the habit was on any particular month of the year, usually the first day, a month of the year, or some month that they considered to be especially appropriate for some reason or another, the people who were devoted to Krishna would come together and chant Hare Krishna, especially in Bangladesh, Bengal, Orissa. This is the habit. But then other times of the year they don't chant. Rarely, occasionally they might chant. Usually on some occasion or other they'll chant, or for 1 month they may chant every night as a regular. But then in other months they won't chant at all. And individually, japa, few people are chanting. So we started a program there that any group of people that would chant minimum once a week regularly and would follow our general program of coordination, distributing our books or receiving our books and reading Prabhupada's literature in their center, setting up like a kirtan place. They were considered to be a group or a sangha, namhata sangha. And if they would further advance and chant every day, they became a kendra or a center. And then if they expanded that in the future to having an actual deity worship and a permanent facility, then they became a Hare Krishna Namhata Mandir. So in this way, just by word of mouth, from the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, we started to expand the Namhata organization. Within the first year we had 45 member groups. The next year that went up to about 150. The year after that was 250. And then this year is now it's over 500. It's been going now for about 3 years. Has over 10,000 members. So when we are doing that preaching, just like out of 500, say there's about daily program 40 to 50 have. 500 are once a week, twice a week, thrice a week. And then four or five actually have already established temples or have had a temple there, and they're doing a daily program with a deity worship. Some of the Gaudiya Math Grihasthas who are living out, Gaudiya Math is almost defunct in many ways. They're not active in many areas, they're not active. They joined the ISKCON preaching and they're acting as our representatives. And people from their village are coming forward. So then we saw that individually we had to also get the people to. Group-wise we were getting some success, but then we wanted individually that the people should advance spiritually. So individually to advance, we made a program that at least they should chant one round a day. And one round a day was about 8 minutes. And actually, I got that idea when I saw that, when I went out and started preaching in the field, I saw that in Mayapur we were having a very big effect on Calcutta and on the local area around Mayapur. But then when I went into more extreme regions like North Bengal, Jalpaiguri, Kuch Bihar, other places, that there were a lot of Mayavadi gurus and so-called avatars who were preaching. There was some yogi who claimed to be an avatar, some Loknath, Gosai. Then there was another person, he claimed to be the combination of Lord Chaitanya, Durga, and a few others all combined. And he told everybody to chant the mantra called Ram Narayan Ram. And he would give big public darshans, and he would have 500 or 1,000 people, have everybody stand up, and over the microphone he would, he'd just give them initiation like that. 500,000 at a time. And then after that, then they say, well, I've already got such and such a guru, I can't do anything, you know. So it became, I could see that because they were exploiting the sentiment of the people, which was to chant Hare Krishna, and then changing it and deceiving them, because the people there, they don't have such a philosophical basis. They're generally working more on tradition and on some kind of sentiment. So it was immediately essential to do something to save the situation. So at that time, actually, I told Jagadish Das, who was leading the Sankirtan party, I told him, I gave him money, I said, you print 100 cards giving the order of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya sent Nityananda and Haridas door to door, and they requested everyone, Bolo Krishna, Bhojo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shikha. Will you please chant Hare Krishna? You worship Krishna and study his teachings. And that's all they asked. This was the order of Lord Chaitanya, that all his followers should go door to door and beg. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said anyone who is a member of his original Namhatta had to go and visit 5 people per day and request them to take up this order. Every day any grihastha had to go and knock on 5 doors and humbly request that person to take up the chanting of Hare Krishna. Study Krishna's teachings and worship Krishna. So, from that this is definitely Lord Chaitanya's order, we should request everyone to chant. So then we requested that, since it's the order of Lord Chaitanya, you should take up chanting at least 10 minutes a day. You try to chant and go on increasing from there. So 10 minutes is about 108 times. So 108 times is what, one round. So in this way, either count on your fingers, or you count on beads, or however you want to count, that we don't care, but you chant at least 108 times. This we're begging you on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then just so that we take out a card with their name, address, everything, that we have them written down and that they know that they're signed up and they have the card with the mantra on it and address, everything. And so we had going in this area which was like the stronghold of all these Mayavadi gurus. And by this type of preaching, thousands of people came forward and they signed up and they agreed to chant Hare Krishna every day. And then this way, the progress of those Mayavadi gurus was stopped just like that by Prabhupada's mercy. So then I realized that the people so easily took up when you requested in a humble way. They were so shocked, because no one ever asked anybody to do any spiritual practice. And it's so simple to chant Hare Krishna and read Prabhupada's books, that then we went to Bangladesh and did the same thing with a big, big response. So then we went to South India and I went to Delhi. At that time, I think actually Purna Pragya was there. And I told Lokanath Swami that if you did it here, if you requested the people of Delhi to chant Hare Krishna, they'd do it. He said, no, these people are very, they're different Bengalis, are sentimental and very emotional people, but here they're not. So he had a program, we were speaking at some Ramanandi, they're doing 108 fire sacrifices and they're like kind of mixed Rambhakta and Mayavadis. So that time, we were supposed to be the guest speaker, so I had him print up in Hindi and English on a letterhead 100, 200 forms for chanting, taking up the order of Lord Chaitanya, that this was the way of bringing peace in the world. Everyone should chant in this way of bringing spiritual revolution. Everyone should take up the chanting. And so I gave my 15-minute speech that they allowed. They said whatever, half-hour speech. At the end, I kept 10 minutes in hand. I gave my appeal that everyone should take up this chanting. And those of you who want to forward the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can just stand up. And 2/3 of the people stood up and want to take up this oath to chant every day Hare Krishna. And when all the people stood up in the middle of this Mayavadi sannyasis, I felt it was just like, you know, going in and taking, you know, Rukmini from the Swayambar. He brought them there, you know, just to pollute them with Mayavad. We came right in there and they all stood up to Hare Krishna. Then he flipped out, they grabbed the mic away. You can't do this! And just, you know, he flipped out and then, you know, just a little, you know, just wouldn't let us go on. In spite of that, Four people jumped up on the stage and immediately signed up. And one of his own sadhus came from the back and said, I want to chant. With the beard and everything. So anyway, after that, they could realize that actually, if you request people, and by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, people will actually take it up. They have nothing to lose. And somehow, just by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it works that if you request some people, a lot of them will actually take up the chanting. So I was preaching to our life member makers that we always go to the members and take 2222 rupees, 2,222, now it's 3,333. But, you know, the relationship really doesn't develop until we get them to actually become devotees. They are devotees of one sort or another, but till they actually chant Hare Krishna, they don't really appreciate what this movement is all about. You see? Because there's not much of a change of heart. So that you should try to get them to chant. So they started a program there where the life members were chanting one or four rounds a day, Vaishya Rishi program. And those members started to become very enthused because of just being able to chant. They became like devotees. So amongst life members, we started some programs. I went to South India. We printed up the cards there. And in Madras, Bangalore, Madurai. Even that time there was a lot of problem because Muslims were converting the Harijans into Muslims. Hindu outcast type Harijans, sweepers and pig herders, fishermen, they were being converted to Muslim. It was mainly a political stunt, but it created a lot of publicity at that time in all the newspapers because millions of petrol dollars are going into India to try to turn the whole Hindu country into Muslims. So, of course, now the government has banned all the Muslim and fanatical Christian groups as well as a couple of fanatical Hindu groups from receiving any foreign donations. Thank Krishna that they didn't include us in those categories. We're not at all... of course, under those categories at all. But so there we started the same program. Of course, in each place, maybe it's a slightly different way that it's presented, but in the ultimate issue, we were requesting people to also take up the chanting. Now there, we call it the Sanskar Patra, to accept the order of Lord Chaitanya. But this is actually the order of Lord Chaitanya. He said, Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shikha. Chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, study His teachings. So this is the order of Lord Chaitanya. So to take up the order of Lord Chaitanya and take up this chanting is, of course, the very first step in spiritual life. So, in South India we found even some of the Muslims were coming forward and accepting the chant. Because no one had ever asked them, or they never knew that they were allowed to chant. He said, no, there's no hard and fast rule. Anyone, you can be any religion, you can chant Hare Krishna. There's no restriction. It's universal. So in this way, in each program we are getting 400 or 500 people, 1,000 people to come forward, very respectable people. I was speaking with one man, I was having a darshan in the Bangalore temple. And just people are coming into the room and they're just a non-stop. So one very husky older man, maybe 75, big tall, looks like a Marwari, came in the room and he started to challenge that why Shri Krishna's name, why worship the deity, so on and so forth. It was like a Mayavadi. He said, everything is one, it's all void, so there's no use in chanting particularly Krishna's name. And I had a big argument with him. I was preaching for a long time. Finally, I became so disgusted. I said, when you take your meal, you say it's all one, this, that. You take your meal, you have your chapati, you have your rice, you have your sabji, you have your chutney, you have your sweet rice, you have your sherbet, lemonade, everything. You take the whole thing and you mush it together. And then you eat it. This is what, you don't have any, you don't live like that, so why you are trying to impose that into spiritual life? The real quality is Krishna is filled with variety, filled with variegatedness. He's Satchidananda Vigra. And so many, so finally, He was a bit moved or something. So anyway, I just begged him like this. My sir, as a humble representative of Lord Chaitanya, I am begging you. Can you just try to chant Hare Krishna for a few minutes every day? 108 times you just try chanting and go on increasing from there. You just try it and see what's there in it. So because I begged, he said that a sannyasi has never begged anything from me before and never I ever refused a sannyasi. So I'll take up, since you're asking me, I'll do it. And that person bowed down and he left. He signed up. So then, about an hour later, one of our life members came back, who was chanting about 8 rounds a day at that time. Now he chants about 16. And he came back and said, do you know who that gentleman was? He's the richest man in Bangalore. He's a lifelong Arjuna Samaji. He never comes in the temple. He never bows down before a deity. He doesn't believe also in deity worship. He never, ever chanted, anything. I drove him back. I'm a director in one of his companies. He said that just because you requested him to chant, that he has promised to chant, that he is not going to break his promise, and he said from the very night today, he's going to chant his one round of Hare Krishna. He got the mala, and he's going to continue chanting it because he gave his word. He said, this is the biggest change that this person has ever had in the 75 years of his life. He's worth over 500 crores of rupees, which is about $550 million. Anyway, because we don't lay any distinction, anyone that comes, it's a flat plea. Once they chant one round, we have a second level, which is vegetarian, chanting 4 rounds and doing some service, accepting the guru as a shiksha guru, following the instructions of the ISKCON acharyas, Prabhupada, as a guideline in life. Because a lot of people in India, they want to give me diksha, but they are not ready. And if you don't give them something, then of course they feel frustrated. But they're not actually ready yet for initiation by our standards. So to give, also to encourage them to become vegetarian, to become a little pure in their life, so we made the second level. 4 rounds, vegetarian, shiksha guru, like that. So that we read in the... Since Prabhupada had that League of Devotees, so we tried to preserve that. So we call that as a League of Devotee level. But basically it's like the shiksha, taking a shiksha guru. So then, those persons are, they're given more attention for coming up to the actual level of getting initiation. Because when you start getting tens of thousands, we get just like, tens of thousands of these cards that people fill out for chanting. So then they also, what they go back is then our Namhatta preachers, they take all those names. Because there everything is, in India it's more like, wholesale type. They send out postcards. Of course, they told me that they were just sending out because we have age, education. Sometimes they would send out like postcards just to the students between 18 and 30 or whatever, 25. And they send out postcards that everyone should meet at such and such a place or having a meeting. And then they found that 95% all the people that had signed up, they all came to that meeting. And they all wanted to take more part in ISKCON because they'd been chanting. And they wanted that relationship with ISKCON. They wanted the continuing relationship and help. And so in this way, now in South India, they also have 56 Namhatta groups. In a Namhatta group, everyone is supposed to be at least chanting one round a day, and they, as I said, they meet once a week. And by meeting once a week on a particular day, then that way the Namhatta preachers, they make their rounds, and occasionally they're also going there. In Bengal, we have about 25 disciples now who are, and about, as I mentioned, some Gaudiya Math people and some other people are chanting 4 rounds vegetarian who know the philosophy a little bit. So those who we see are able to present somewhat Krishna consciousness, then we raise them up to a position of a Chakra Senapati, which was a position that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had in his Namhatta. It means a circle commander. And he's in charge of 12 Namhattas.
And he has to visit those 12 Namhattas at one in a week. That means that within 3 months or one quarter, he'll visit all of them once. And he has 3 assistants called Upachakra Senapatis who are at least steady, but they're not expected to know that much philosophy, but they're very responsible to see that the day that the groups are meeting and that they have certain organizational meetings and so on. And then someone who's initiated, he's over 3 circle commanders, and he's called a Mahachakra Senapati, or the greater circle commander. And he's usually at least initiated by the Harinam. And although we have another over 3 such Mahachakra Senapatis, or greater circle commander, which is in charge of 36 group. They have to visit each group in 6 months once. We have a Mala Senapati who was in charge of 108 Namhatta groups. But as yet, because we don't have any second initiated devotees or anyone that senior, we're having from the temple itself initiated brahmacharis, grihasthas take the position of the Mala Senapati. And they have to visit once in a year, technically. Of course, because they're full-time devotees, they actually visit more than that. But we want that in the future, that all these positions from Mala Senapati, Mahachakra Senapati, Chakra Senapati, the circle commander, greater circle commander, and Mala commanders will be all the village people. And then we'll have rather supervisors who will be full-time devotees and who will be going around. But that the day-by-day maintenance of the spiritual standard will be maintained within the Namhatta groups themselves and within the devotees that have been produced from them. So right now we're at the stage of organizing all of this infrastructure of administration and supervision. And I've been busy with a lot of different projects recently in India for the past year, South India and other places. So when I get back, I'd like to concentrate on writing and seeing that this administration of Namhatta is organized, and with research on the holy places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'd like to concentrate a little more up until December. Then we're trying to arrange a procession taking a Srila Prabhupada deity on the path of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, I'm not sure we're going to be able to do it this year because there's a lot of preparations that have to be done, and these things usually take a lot longer to do than we expected. Anyway, this basic taking one round and 4 rounds and up to 16 rounds, and finally they get their first initiation. This is the basic system. So we try to get everyone to chant one round a day. So in the same thing, in South America, they told me that you couldn't do it. You see, whenever I ask people to chant, usually everybody gets frightened. They figure that no one's going to agree. But somehow, by Krishna's mercy, generally speaking, always a very significant percentage, sometimes even almost 100%, and sometimes at least 25%, they agree to take up the chanting. So even in South America, we had a program at the National Library in Peru, and they're all people with suits and ties and everything there. I happen to have with me 250 cards from Calcutta in English. And I was determined that just, even though they were in English, and everyone speaks Spanish there, I just wanted to try that, whether it would also be possible here to make an appeal to the people to take up the chanting and what type of response you would get. So then I requested the people that how many of you have 10 minutes a day? How many of you like this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like this spiritual direction, the process of singing and chanting Hare Krishna, gradually seeing that what was their mood, and then finally appealing to them that how many could actually give 10 minutes a day for chanting and being connected with this movement as a fellow, as an associate. So then to our amazement, about 300 people out of our booth was packed up. The National Library had a capacity of about 500 or so, and it was completely packed. So over 300 people stood up. And they all lined up. They lined up so far it went out into the hallway. And then they also announced that anyone at this time can get a Bhagavad Gita autographed by Acharya Pat. So then a lot of people at that time, they bought Bhagavad Gitas and they're coming up. I was signing Bhagavad Gitas, signing, chanting cards. They're taking the prasad and bowing down and buying malas and Gitas. And it was, they have the whole thing on video. It was amazing. They were completely dumbfounded themselves that how the people took it up. That actually it's so easy for anyone to chant Hare Krishna for 10 minutes. Everyone wants to know how to meditate. There's a lot of people in the world, they wish they knew how to meditate. They have to pay $400 if you want to do this type of meditation, that type of... We're offering, but just a simple way, all right, no obligation, you know, no salesman visiting your door if you don't want, whatever. You just chant Hare Krishna in your home. Here's the thing. Actually, people, they want to be visited by devotees, or they want to at least know how to do the meditation. A lot of people are eager to learn, especially those who come to programs and come to festivals. In Washington, D.C., I met a number of young people that were eager to learn how to meditate. And I'm sure that if I had some kind of a card or some kind of a mantra card, I could have convinced, you know, there wasn't no convincing. They already wanted to know how to chant and everything. They would have signed up also. That for some, in North America, I don't know exactly the exact form. Until one does it, here you don't get such big crowds at one time. Of course, in Venice, they had quite a big crowd. They had a moderately big crowd in Washington, D.C., a very big crowd they had in Washington, a super big they had in L.A. In those crowd situations, I think even then you could make an appeal, but maybe the North Americans are slightly more sophisticated still. Even on an individual basis, people like to meditate. They're interested in it. It's a growing attraction. And the thing about chanting is that once they chant, I discussed with many Vaishnavas and many, well, what happens? Someone promises and then they don't keep it up. The thing is, they originally were in the spiritual sky and they fell down. Like this, they promised so many times to do so many things. But even if they chant for 10 days, that's more than they'd ever did in their whole life. That they're not making a fire sacrifice oath or something. They're just, they're making an informal promise or an informal agreement that they're going to try. And that's how we word it there. I'm going to try to chant every day. So this way, whatever they chant, that's to their benefit. And then we have the name, so then we always, well, how's the progress going? And then a lot of time people, if they stop chanting, we remind them, oh, it's going all right. Actually, I slipped for a few days, but now I'm starting again. And it's amazing that from this chanting, just like in South America, we did this appeal 2 years ago in the temple. I used to do it. This last time was in the National Library. Even amongst just the public, such a big response was there. And 2 years ago, there was one person coming. We requested him to chant one round. He started chanting two rounds. 6 months later, I came back to Peru. He was up to chanting about 4 or 8 rounds. And he said, now I'm giving up eating meat. 6 months later, 1 year later, I came. And then that time, he said he was already vegetarian. He was chanting about 8 rounds steady. Then he said that now I'm going to chant 12 rounds and I'm going to give up smoking. Then the next time I came, a year and a half later, he said, now I'm chanting 16 rounds. And then I came back again this last time after 2 years. Then now he's chanting 16 rounds and he's living in the temple, but he's working outside and giving half of his salary to the temple, or most of his salary. He's still a little attached to working outside. But that way, just over a period of time, just because we didn't let go, he just kept on increasing. But because in the beginning we said chant, the chanting just drew him forward. It took him 2 years, but over 2 years, now he's a very good devotee. And that way we got many police chiefs. We got police chief, lawyers, doctors, various people in society to take up this chanting as a process of bhakti yoga. We present it maybe in the West more as yoga or something like that. And in India, it's of course Krishna consciousness. It's their own religion. They have no, don't have to call it yoga or anything. Right? But just once the people start to chant and you develop that relationship, they actually feel a change come over their life. And then from there, they become more and more fortunate. And with that fortune, they can engage in more and more service. They become more interested in reading Prabhupada's books. You see, some people won't chant unless they first read all the books. And there's some people that they may chant, but they may not be able, even they read the book, they can't understand it. But by chanting, then they can understand. There's all different kinds of people. So, of course, one thing to remember is that in no way are we trying to reduce the standard of our devotees. It's not like that. Actually, the standard of devotees has to be kept at the highest level. We find that only a devotee who follows the four regular principles, who chants 16 rounds, who follows all of the principles given by Prabhupada, is actually the best preacher. This preaching cannot be done by someone very effectively unless they're very pure. So without this purity, there's no force, there's no preaching potencies there. You can get other people to chant, but it's hard for them to, in turn, get others to chant, maybe a few friends or neighbors or something like that, but it's hard for them to do any big-scale preaching. At best, they can get some friends to chant, or they can distribute a few books in their neighborhood, and that way they can be engaged. But to be actually a good preacher, one has to be at the standard of ISKCON initiated devotee, or that standard of practice, then one is able to preach much better and purely. So the whole basis is that the Krishna conscious temples are like the hearts. They're like the whole wholesale center for the marketplace of the holy name, and all these other are like traveling salesmen, branch offices, retail shops. And they're all getting their merchandise, the holy name, from the wholesale dealerships, which are the actual temples, the big marketplaces. So these temples were the first necessity to have a pure place where they can come, see how to set up a temple in their house. Then you see, once we get them to chant, we don't stop there. Then we set up altars, temples in their house, get them to worship in their house. Then we get them to become vegetarian, offer their prasadam. And this way, we take them up stage by stage and get them to give something, whatever they can, on some basis they contribute. In India, we have them contribute to the local Namhatta every week, every month rather, something. And then in this way, the Namhattas, they also give some affiliation fee to ISKCON for covering the administrative cost or offsetting some of them, doesn't cover all. So in this way, the preaching is starting to expand in dimensions which were before not even considered. You can imagine that 500 branches, each of them every day getting, every week getting, just like we have this ISKCON World Review, we take from that and we publish twice a month a Hare Krishna Sankirtan newspaper, giving worldwide news, what is happening in different parts of the world. One page is showing the local news about Namhattas around, this is in Bengal, we have this newspaper, and then we have also a similar one we're making now in Bangladesh, and they have a separate one, the English ISKCON World Review they're using in South India, and the people speak English there more. And this last week, Radha Krishna Swami just called up that from Mayapur, they called up that they distributed 8,000 of these samachar newspapers and 575 back to Godheads, you know, through all the different Namhattas. And I know that they've now started having agents, and some of the agents take up to 500 newspapers themselves for distribution, and minimum they take about 20. And they go out every week. And some of them, one person, he couldn't sell them, so he just pays from his own salary. And every goes out, he said, all right, you won't buy from me, or you take it free. Because people were saying, why are you selling these books? It's a business, this, that, in India, you know. They think that because the Christians go in and just flood everyone with as many free Bible books and things, that so much that they take the books and use it for wrapping, you know, selling puffies and popcorn and things, you know. They buy the books, and this is just free. You can buy communist literature, and you can get Christian literature practically free or free, more than you can use. When they sign you up to get a subscription for the communist Russian magazine, their sales pitch is that you can get a 3-year subscription for 20 rupees, which is less than $3. They say that you get a paper every month, a big, like, Life magazine. If you just save the paper, and at the end of 3 years, or even every year, if you sell it as used paper, you'll get back double your money than what you're paying for the subscription. This is their sales pitch. The people figure, you know, it's like an investment. I get a free magazine, and I get money out of it in the end, you know. So plus I get the salesman off my back. In spite of that, so sometimes they criticize, well, why the devotees are selling books? You should be giving them away free. You're a big international organization, you have worldwide branches. When the Christians are giving free, when the communists are giving free, why do you want money? Of course, Prabhupada said we're not supposed to give away free literature. But so some of these preachers, they just say, all right, I'll pay out of my own pocket. And they're giving, all right, you take one. They're becoming so determined that somehow or another they're going to preach Krishna consciousness and make their village Krishna conscious, their towns Krishna conscious. So that way, every year, Nityananda's appearance day, we've been having an annual festival. And for the group that does the most book distribution, we give a bicycle. For the group that has the most preaching, we give a big PA system that they can hook up on their kirtan hall and blast out the whole village at Mangalarti. Of course, one village we gave the whole PA system. I went out there, I said, how come it's not fixed? They said, you gave the PA system, but there's no electricity in our village. I said, I didn't expect that. I said, we didn't have the money to buy a battery. The big car battery cost about $50 or 500 rupees. We couldn't afford the battery. But they wouldn't sell it. They kept it all wrapped up, you know, the new PA system. So I said, this year they got a second prize and something. So this year I gave them the battery to fill up the, so that they could use their PA system. Then they take the battery once every week into town, and for 3 rupees they get it charged up at the automobile repair shop overnight. They bring back their car battery and hook up their PA. So of course you're dealing there with a low-income group in many places. In some places the people are rich, some they're poor. But this chanting of Hare Krishna is for anyone. Rich and poor, young and old. So I see that in America that we meet a lot of favorable people. They buy our books, they in the airports and different places. You meet a lot of people. I just met one corporal from Army. He's living in Maryland in some base. I have his address. And he was saying, you know, how he really liked, he was reading Bhagavad Gita, and he liked, you know, how it was, you know, spoken on the battlefield and everything, and didn't understand it fully, but he could appreciate that it was something really spiritual, the way that Krishna was telling Arjuna all the things about spiritual life. And it was, you know, basic understanding he was getting. So then he also wanted to chant Hare Krishna. He said he would chant. But since he was the corporal, he had a little time off. He could apparently adjust things so he could chant a little bit every day. So there's a lot of people in America that would be open to chanting. And if we have an organized program, then it can be developed from there, that once you get a number of people to chant, then you see that, well, in this particular area, there's so many people chanting. Then you group them together once in a month or once in 2 weeks or something, that they have a little get-together, and a devotee goes there at that particular day. and conducts a slideshow or has his wife go there and show them how to cook and make it like a little social, and they start to meet those people. And of course, you know, people always raise up doubts. Well, some of them might be in Maya and contaminate the other because they're all out in the material world. But until we actually, they're doing it in England and they're getting a very good success. The same things that we're doing in other parts, they're doing in England. And their folk program is actually very successful. Some people from their folk program have walked in and just given £10,000, which is about $18,000 donation, just appreciating the response. In fact, their folk program is maintained by their own mail order. They publish a little paper for the people that are in UK under their folk program. And naturally, they want to get beads, they want to get deities, they want to get a puja equipment, they want to get pictures of the parampara, they want to, so they have, you know, like a whole, in the thing, they have like a whole mail order for all the paraphernalia you can use to be a devotee. And those people, just from that mail order of people wanting to get Krishna posters and so many different things, they're able to pay for the paper and for the overhead of the whole program. On top of that, whatever they send in as donation goes for expanding other programs within that. So, if it can be done in England, and if it can be done in South America, and of course India, it's going on. I don't see that why it also can't be done in America, but a lot of times in America people just become pessimistic that it can't be done here, they're rednecks, they're fallen, or this or that. I mean, there's a lot of good people in America. It's, they did a world study, and I think America was either first or second or third in the world, or maybe I think India was first, Thailand was second, and then America third for people who actually believe in God. Over 90% of the people in America said they believed in God. So even in America, it's the only country in the world that still has written on their money, "In God we trust," even after so many atheists tried to get it cut off. So there's a lot of good people here, and they'll chant Hare Krishna. That's not too much to ask. And from chanting, then after they chant for a while, some chant for a while and they stop chanting, but they start to appreciate devotees. Once a person chants even for a few days, they start to see devotees as brothers or in a different light. And if you can make them feel even as associates of our movement, then of course that relationship will help to bring them closer and closer. And someone who starts to chant regularly, then also, there's now 5% of Americans are apparently vegetarian, one recent Gallup poll showed. So even in America, it's probably easier to get people to be vegetarian than a lot of the people in Bengal or in India. Certain parts of India, they're very addicted to fish eating. While in America, it's much in the vogue to get into health foods and vegetarian food. You can ask our Bangladeshi friend, you know, Bengalis, they like to eat fish too much. But they'll chant, but they won't give up fish. That's a tough point. So it takes a long time for them to get over that because they just have that habit. But in America, they're a little bit more renounced. I mean, if a person starts to chant, then you could expect that within a certain amount of time, he would also become a vegetarian. They might already be vegetarians. And for a vegetarian, chanting affects very quickly. And then they can go on, if they just learn to offer their food, before you know it, they're practicing a lot of Krishna conscious activities. And even bloop devotees would be able to be engaged in this kind of preaching. When I have some of Acharya Dev's bloop grihastas, no longer bloop, now they're actually actively preaching outside in a society. They have their job, but every night they go out and preach, so they kind of redeem them, because while they're living outside, they felt embarrassed because they left the devotees. At the same time, there was no program outside, and so they kind of got alienated. So this way, we were able to engage them, that they were good grihastas. And by every evening, they would go and preach in different areas to these service groups. And as a result, they actually became more and more fixed up. Even though they're living outside, they became enlivened, and it kept their spiritual life strong because they could do some preaching work. And it freed the book distributors, of course, for just continuing with their book distribution and other activities. All it takes is one senior devotee who knows the philosophy well, who's patient, who wants to, who is patient enough to see that the devotees, maybe a person over a period of 1 or 2 years, may be progressing rather than over a period of days and weeks. And of course, sometimes people do immediately increase. We find that by opening up the doors to many, those moons that we want, actually more moons become available. Many stars are there, but so out of those many stars, like churning the ocean of nectar, then a lot more moons are also coming out. A lot of people actually who were put off because they thought that Krishna consciousness was too inaccessible, it was too distant, it was too much for them to aspire for, because it was made so available to them that once they started to chant, they got over their inhibitions and got enthusiastic, and so then they were able to quickly advance and come up to the standard of actually surrendering to Krishna. And those people who chant, they generally respect the devotees. They respect their renunciation, they respect their learning, they respect what they're doing for them. That a devotee is going out of the way. Just yesterday, where was that? In Denver, Bhakti Steve was saying that how he had been writing letter. He met some devotee in the airport somewhere, got a book, he wrote to Los Angeles, the mail order. And they kept, and then he was surprised. He never thought they'd answer back. They wrote back a 2-page letter. And they kept correspondence up. Finally, over a period of a couple of years, he decided to move into the Denver temple. And then just for this Rath Yatra, he went to Los Angeles and he met all the people who had written him the letters. And he really appreciated that everyone he wrote to, they were writing him back, and they... So a lot of this encouragement, once a person agrees to chant, can be done through the mail or by the phone. In this way, one person can maintain hundreds of people. And from those hundreds, you'll find that many people are coming forward very quickly. There are many people in the material world who are being placed there by Lord Chaitanya for that level of, the next level of Prabhupada wanted, Varnashram preaching. Prabhupada personally told me in Los Angeles, in 1970, before he sent me to India, it was a morning walk, there were a number of devotees in the walk. Suddenly he just turned and faced to us, and he said, "Don't think that everyone is going to live in our temple. They're going to be, our temple are for the brahmanas, for the preachers. They are very, rare persons or something. I don't remember the exact words, but they're like more special. But there will be many people who will be chanting Hare Krishna in their houses, worshipping in temples in their home, and they'll be coming on festive days and on Sundays to our temple like they're coming to the churches. And these will be our congregations around all of our temples. And this way Krishna consciousness will be spread in the future." But since 1970 until now, that has only developed slightly. So I feel that in the West it just requires a little coordination. I was talking with Mukunda Goswami that if every book distributor that is doing the distribution in the airports, what happens is that say a person from Atlanta comes to Philly, or a person from Chicago goes to Denver, and you get the name, so normally, it's usually the person from another place that meets the devotee in the airports. Maybe not always that the person from the same place, that somehow if the every time he met a favorable person, if there was a way of getting his name and address and then sending that name either to that temple concerned or to some central pooling office like Mukunda's, and then he just gives it out to all the branches accordingly to whoever, whoever was from Philadelphia that they met in Chicago or St. Louis or Atlanta or anywhere else, they would send. Then this way, every month you'd get hundreds or dozens of names. And those people could be visited or written, and then who had expressed an interest, who said, "Yeah, I like your books." And like people, I've seen people walk up and just, "I got to catch a plane quick, here's $10, give me a book." I mean, I've seen people do that. I've seen a lot of people, actually eager for Krishna consciousness. "Yeah, I always read your books. I like you people. You're doing good work." You meet people like that all the time. I stood by the book distributors in the airport. You see a lot of cold people, a lot of some demonic people. You see a lot of good, nice people are really interested. But then somehow they just like slip through our fingers. We're not able to, you know, they're there, but we're not cultivating them. It was, if we, with the active preaching that we have, I mean, it's like an open joke that all the media and everyone always says, like, the Hare Krishnas are like all pervasive in all the airports everywhere. If we had the slightest infrastructure like the Mormons and these other groups, once they get a name, you know, and even a person sends his death certificate, I don't know if they could take them off their mailing list, you know. And as a result, you know, their group is expanded just because they take a personal interest. So without, of course, forcing ourselves on people that don't want to be, but those who just want to be, who actually are interested, if we just have a program of cultivating them and getting them to chant one round and then gradually letting them know that they can be part of our movement and they don't have to come and live in the temple, then a little bit more of a free mood, automatically more people will come and live in the temple because more people will be eager to just be part of the movement. That's what we found in India and other places, was just that we, rather than the hard sell, we just started a very broad appeal. And then what happens is they know when someone comes in and they have a specific, in other words, when we do our public preaching, we don't preach shave up, surrender, give up everything. In public, we don't preach like that anymore so much. We preach, what is the purpose of life, this, that, you should chant. You should come for instruction. And when the people come forward and chant, and they come forward, and then they're brought inside and they have individual questions, then you see this person is right to be a devotee. Then in private, you give that person the special preaching. But in public, so that you can get, just a lot of people can feel that we can be part. There's no public pressure. Public pressure is just chant Hare Krishna, try to lead a pure life. You know, in general, things, the actual thing like drive, like if you're not in the temple, you're in Maya. No, you know, you can try to be Krishna conscious outside, but it's more difficult, it's better in the society of devotees, just a little bit lower key self. And then when the people, you see that there's actually a person who is ready, should be in the temple, is at that stage of development that is no use for the person not to be in the society of devotees directly, could become a preacher, then you preach to that person. And because of just laking a little bit lower key, a lot of the people who are put off by hard cells, they actually come forward, and then by having more people coming, then you actually, in the long run, you get more devotees, and then you have a broader effect in any case. But anyway, this is the way that I personally think Krishna consciousness in the West is for people. I imagine many temples are doing, some temples are finding a good result. I know in England they're finding. I heard that here you're having a similar program. I'd be interested to see what type of success you're getting here. And I feel that when Prabhupada said that I've done half the work, the other half of the work you still have to do, and he was always telling us about Varnashram, that he meant people living outside in the society, repeatedly said that, and that the way those people will actually become part of Varnashram is only if they chant Hare Krishna. So that definitely this is the next stage for actually expanding the grassroots of Krishna consciousness to every town and village and every family and every society of the world. Hare Krishna. Who?
Mr. Roy Rogers.
Roy Rogers.
He's a
cowboy. Do you still, do they still have Roy Rogers show?
They don't watch TV. They probably just have reruns. It is a film.
I mean, in South America, very materialistic people, newswomen, journalists, television cameramen, they come and they do reports. And we tell them that you can chant Hare Krishna and you don't have to give up your job. You can chant, which is what Prabhupada always preached. I mean, I've heard him preach like that thousands of times. And every one of them, you don't have to change yourself. You can, wherever you are, grihe tako, bone tako, sadahare bole dako, chant Hare Krishna. That's the way he always preached. And when you tell people that you're a cameraman or you're a newswoman, all right, you just chant Hare Krishna. You can chant. Really, I don't have to No, you don't have to shave your hair. You don't have to put the paint on your nose. You just chant Hare Krishna. And they said, well, I'd like to do that. I mean, I like him, I like that. But I mean, I just always thought I had to, shave my hair off or give up my job or something. I said, no, you just chant. And according to time, place, and circumstance, according to each individual, then you give them the specific medicine that they need to hear. But in this way, people, the more they chant Hare Krishna, the more their lives are going to change. And some of those newspaper people, they're also chanting now. They actually, it takes them completely off guard because they usually expect they expect that we're very elitist or that we're going to be very exclusive. And when we're actually very open, it takes them off guard. When they see that it's so easy to practice, that they have find it hard, if they're a little pious, even to refuse. That's how we used to do a lot of preaching in America, to get everyone to chant. Of course, it was a little bit corny. You used to say, this is the spiritual way to get high, and so on and so forth. It was in the 60s, and it was a different time. Now Krishna consciousness has become much more strong. Devotees have become much more strict. They become much more steady in their devotional service. We have a different standard. Even the Indians from India appreciate that our temples are the most beautiful temples and so clean and everything. They're really impressed. Nonetheless, the people in the material world have not progressed along with the Krishna conscious movement. Rather, they've gone further into Maya. So there still has to be a program for the people who are in the lower rungs of situation to get let them come up to the standard. Now our devotees are actually like first-class brahmanas, but the brahmanas teach that the whole society, even the vaishyas and the sudras and other fallen conditioned souls are able to come up to the standard of Krishna consciousness. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is universal. There's nothing better. There's nothing more perfect. And we have Prabhupada's books. We have so many facilities to preach in America that we don't have in India. You have video. You have movies. We can't afford to put a video in many places, but everybody has a television set. And if you have a video player, you can just hook it in any television set and show them so many ITV movies. Or they can just pitch together and get their own I thing, and they can see the ITV movies in the service group meetings, and this way they can become closer and closer to Krishna consciousness. They can see Gurupada's lectures, they can see Prabhupada's lectures, they can see Mayapur festival. If we had that facility in India, then we would be really something. But we don't have that much finance to afford, plus it's pretty hard to get around India with video television set in the village. We take slide projectors. But here, there's a lot of facility. In Sweden, they have 24 hours a week on the radio. Of course, in Italy, they have 6 of their own radio stations. And now they have one in Paris. So through radio, also this preaching is going on now in different countries. So by using media, by using these facilities, while we have them, it's very easy to be able to train up people in Krishna consciousness than it was before. You can use all these machines to train them up, to expose them to advanced devotees. Even Roy Rogers has now got it back to Godhead. How is the subscription program going here?
Going nicely. We signed up 5,000 people in our zone. We're waiting to see how they're paying. They're doing a little analysis on which distributors, what situations signed up people. You know, because you don't pay on the spot, you pay later on. Billing system. So we're just now getting the results from that.
First, before you go ahead, you want to see that under what situations that people sign up, who pays up?
Yes.
To see, you know, so that you don't just...
So we don't make it a cheap thing. So we can train up all the other zones as well and all the distributors here. Exactly how to do it nicely. So that we make sure pay.
How many... It takes probably a month or two before they all stand in.
It's been a month now. We're just coming up with the results. We've got some results now. $1,000
Exciting program.
That you were saying how to send all the names and that back to God and magazine does that.
That's
signed up from a different part of the country, like in our airport in Philadelphia, and automatically the names are sent to the air nearest temple.
And now this it's automatic, because now they can just sign them up for the back to God or anyone that's favorable. So it's automatically happening. Of course, see, the main thing, books are the basis. We're giving the books. This is just that there's other reason why I got into the whole preaching was that in India we were finding out that a lot of people were reading the books and they were actually very interested in the books. And they would come forward in India and they would read the books and say, "I believe in your philosophy. I want to be a devotee." And they said, "What can I do next?" And then we'd ask them, well, you know, the preacher would say, "You can move in our temple in Mayapur." He said, "Well, the person might be like 50 years old, have a wife and 13 killed children, you know, have a house with 25 acres of crops on it, and, you know, two of the children, sons are already married and they each have two kids, and then the father has got 12 years more to work before he retires at 68 or something from the railway, which he's been working as the conductor or something for his whole life." So then, you know, it's just not possible for that person, even if he came with the whole, you know, 27 family members, the temple would not be in a position to house them or provide for them in any case there. And even if, you know, and plus it's just, you know, it's a shift, it's just like almost impossible in that situation.